I would like to spend a few minutes with you today and discuss what we mean in broad terms about when we say the data dilemma. Today, the entire publishing industry, like every other industry, relies more and more on technology. And I think this is especially true for scholarly publishers, but it's true for everyone. Technology is playing an increasingly bigger role in the infrastructure of our businesses, as customers demand faster, easier, and comprehensive access to the content of your journals and your books. The content of these creative works, the number of times that have been downloaded, the number of times they have been shared, the things that are written about them, all that is data. And technology is making it possible, allows us to capture this data and process this data faster than ever before. It also allows us to share this data with sister organizations and also access, tap on other data external to our organization, such as things in public domain or even proprietary. So we often hear the term big data tossed around to the point of cliché. But it is a reality. Last report from STM mentions that there have been 2.5 million articles published last year. 2.5 million articles, about 7,000 articles if you do the math, every day. That's a lot of data. And we're told by industry leaders and observers alike that data is the new oil and information the new petroleum. But data, but all by itself, does not have a direct business value beyond its own context. And take, for example, a piece of paper, write a number down, that's data. So in my view, the data dilemma, if there is a dilemma, which we'll talk about, is more about what to do with the data. How can we extract meaning and value from it? But rather than thinking about the data as the new oil, I like to think about data as the land that contains the oil. And the whole process of finding where the oil is, digging and extracting that to obtain value from it is what really the matter of interest should be. Well, if we are able to capture this data and process this data, and if the whole point is to deliver a higher value to our customers through that, what changed? Why is it different now? Why now? Why are we talking about it now? Well, there are three things that have changed in the past few years. One is increasing computing power. Two is programmable infrastructure. And three is machine learning. Let's look at them one by one. Computing power. Today, there have been great advances in multiprocessor, what's called parallel processing through multi-core CPUs or graphical processing units. That allows us to execute instructions on machines very fast and beyond anything else we've seen before. Programmable infrastructure refers to what you must have heard before being referred to as the cloud. So the cloud is not just about virtualization. The cloud is about being able to create on demand an entire computing infrastructure for the processing that you need to do on your data. And last but not least is machine learning. So machine learning, advancing machine learning, allow us to make computations that were impossible before. And it allows us to build cybernetics, meaning systems that where human interaction, human in the loop, is always present and higher value on processing can be obtained by letting the machines learn from the interactions. An example of that is natural language processing. As you know, you've always been able to store your data in databases, well-structured systems where you store your data into rows and columns. But the fact is that 80 to 90% of all content is unstructured. It's the articles, the content in the articles of your journal, so the content in your book, the comments of the authors about an article or the recommendations for a particular product. So these advances in algorithms have allowed companies like Google and Facebook and Amazon provide greater value to their customers. We're living at a moment of tremendous opportunity. If I may embellish my earlier metaphor, imagine that you just discovered your own planet. It's your planet. It's entirely new. Through prior research, you know that there are very valuable resources underneath the surface. You're orbiting around it now, and now you're saying, okay, my mission is to find, dig, capture, extract, and mine these resources so I can get value from it. And, you see, your data is your planet. That's the metaphor. And it can be oil, it can be natural gas, it can be any precious metal, it can be anything else. And the results of mining your data will have equally tremendous value as mining a new planet. So the infrastructure capabilities and the algorithmic capabilities available to us have reached a tipping point. These things are no longer the bottleneck for us. The bottleneck is our ability to innovate and our imagination. How can we make use of those resources? And the challenge is to embrace new ways to extract value so that we can deliver that value to our customers, to your customers. A number of publishers are already doing just that. And we will hear some of their success stories in just a minute from my fellow presenters, Jim Bryan of Trajectory and Sybil Wan of Sparho. Of course, the machines can crunch the numbers all day long and do so at lightning speed. But as of yet, no computer has been able to create an original idea. So fear not. The professional instinct and a uniquely human ingredient of gut feeling, it's still valuable and on demand. In my view, instinct and intuition have a place in the world of publishing, and I believe that the machines are here to help us, to make us more powerful, not to replace us. If we look back at the first industrial revolution, there were some people who were concerned that machine-based manufacturing would eventually take over, leaving the human from the outside looking in. As we all know, that didn't happen. What did happen is that we were able to produce products and increase our GDPs a lot faster and a greater scale than ever before. Today, there is an analogy with that in the sense that much like machines in the first industrial revolution allow us to transform raw materials into physical products, today machines can help us transform data into information products. Similarly, creating the landscape for tremendous advances. World Economic Forum Executive Chairman Klaus Schwab recently wrote that we are entering an era that he calls the fourth industrial revolution. He says, we stand on the brink of a technological revolution that will fundamentally alter the way we live, work, and relate to one another. In its scale, scope, and complexity, the transformation will be unlike anything humankind has experienced before. Clearly, the world is changing, and it behooves all of us to change with it. If we remember Darwin, throughout history, it wasn't the strongest who survived. It was the species that was able to adapt. Today, our willingness to get beyond our fears and to begin tapping into the value inside our data will differentiate the pioneers from the laggards, the winners from the losers. In my view, our industry is rapidly approaching what Andy Grove, retired CEO of Intel Corporation, calls a strategic inflection point. The point where there are two major pathways, doing business as usual or embracing and adapting to the new. Grove says that at this moment, these pathways are fairly close together, but they will soon diverge into a growing gap between growth and success, or entropy and decline. The dilemma is, do you want to be a dynamo or do you want to be a dinosaur? Let's not let fear stop us. Let's start digging and exploring and extracting value from our data. Thank you.